All right, people, I need a go-no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go fly.
Microphone.
We're go fly.
Video feed.
Go.
Web browser.
Go.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go fly.
Interflux Toddism suppressor.
All right, I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
Five.
Button, who's got the button?
Four.
There's no cause for alarm.
Three.
Everybody hold on to something.
Two.
Just press the button.
One.
It's showtime.
Welcome to episode 1101 of the Geek News Central podcast. It's Monday, March 14th. This show is sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com and listeners just like you. Great deals from GoDaddy can be found today at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. You can support this show at geeknewscentral.com/insider or paypal.me/geeknews. You can always pick up Ohana gear at cafepress.com/Ohana store. Hey, you want to give everyone a very, 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 very warm welcome. About a 6 minute late start to the show tonight. I was sitting around here, be honest with you, I had everything ready and I got watching a YouTube video and my wife said, "Are you going to take a shower before you do the show?" And I looked at the time, I was like, "Uh-oh," and I ran out of here. So it's my own fault for, you guys don't care. Most of you are listening later. You don't care if I was 6 minutes or 10 minutes or 20 minutes late. It really doesn't matter, but hey, if you're brand new to the show, I want to welcome you to the Geek News Central podcast. Of course, I want to encourage you to take some time and go over to the website at geeknewscentral.com and check out the website, check out all the great articles my team, my fantastic, super-duper team of writers are doing, and we're coming to the end, finally, of all the CES videos. A couple hundred of them have been put up over the past, really, 6-7 weeks. So pretty nuts. But right there on the right-hand column of the website at geeknewscentral.com, you're going to see a place to subscribe via iTunes or an Android. If you want to go old school, you can do it via email. Or if you have no idea what I'm talking about, click on the more subscription options at the bottom there of that little link. It'll take you to a page that talks about how to get subscribed to the show. So that's the key for those of you that are new. For those of you who've been here for a while, thank you so much. A big, warm, big welcome to the Ohana, all the longtime listeners of the show. Thanks so much for being here. And I tell you, it's been a pretty good weekend. And coming, you know, today's Monday, very productive. Things are moving as always, and really no major complaints. Got a lot done this past weekend, and in preparation for my trip out to Albuquerque. But that's next week. We'll talk a little bit about that in a few minutes. But hey, one way you can stay in touch is reaching out on Twitter at Geek News. You can email me here, geeknews@gmail.com. Of course, you can follow on Google Plus and on Facebook. You can watch the show on the Roku, on the Apple TV. You can listen on Stitcher on blueberry.com. And you can listen on the Amazon Echo. Now, I have gotten there. I must be getting you all trained, and I have to be real, real careful here because some of you are listening on the Amazon Echo right now. And what has happened is that I have triggered restarts of the show and getting a certain voice recognition system hearing me say her name, and I don't dare say her name because every time I tell someone to play the latest edition of the Geek News Central podcast, those of you that are listening on the Amazon Echo, the stupid thing starts the show over. So I am going to be very careful here and try not to upset, because I got a couple of emails from listeners that said, stop doing that. You're causing the show to restart. And it could go into an infinite loop, you know, because if it's restarted, it gets to the same time I tell that device to do something. So very funny. So you guys know what to tell Alexa. Now she's listening right now. See? Oh my gosh! I'm so. It's like, how long is she gonna listen? And she doesn't understand. Well, it's just, you know, it's like having. It's like, I don't know, what do you call this, a paradox? With all these voice recognition systems out there, we could be doing all kinds of things in our home soon, and we not even realize it. So anyway, we'll. I have a story to share with you about that too, coming up. But don't forget about our partner shows at geeknewscentral.com. We've got the great team at the Gadget World, Mr. Don Bain, doing the. Taking care of all of our gadget needs with the Gadget Professor at thegadgetprofessor.com. We've got Todd Ani on the Elder Divide. And, of course, I didn't have all these sites loaded up, so it shows you how fast my website loads. It's elderdivide.com. And, of course, we've got Mr. Jamie Davis at Health Tech Weekly. I'm letting the pages load here. Health Tech Weekly. And then we have Jacob and Jeff at No Better Than Average. We, of course, have our Pro Gear dot guru site available as well for you to get your geek on the gear. And if you haven't caught on already, the ProGear.guru site is going to be the new theme that'll be migrating down to Geek News Central in a very, very short order, maybe even as soon as tomorrow we start implementing that. So anyway, that's what's going on. Definitely check out all the shows, all the team members over there. It's greatly, greatly appreciated when you do, and get subscribed to those shows. Of course, New Media Show with Rob Greenlee and I as well is in that stack, so don't forget that. We are live at live.geeknewscentral.com for those of you that are jumping on Blab, maybe on and off watching tonight. So anyway, definitely check out live.geeknewscentral.com. The show, of course, is sponsored in part by our good friends over at GoDaddy, and I did check the system today. We're running a little behind for March. So if you've been waiting, if you've been sitting on the sidelines to pick up a product from GoDaddy.com, thinking about doing hosting, thinking about picking up a domain name, a variety of services, this would be a great time to throw the show a bone by going over to geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. And using one of our promo codes, 30% off new product purchases, 99cent.coms. You can get managed WordPress hosting, economy hosting, or even website builder with a Microsoft Outlook email address with a free domain, all for $1 a month. So again, $1 a month economy hosting with a free domain, $1 a month managed WordPress hosting. Again, $1 a month for the first year with a free domain. All those codes start with CJC, GNC, then it goes WP1, 1HS, GOT, GNC, CJC, GNC 99, CJC, GNC 30. All those codes can be used at GoDaddy. Just click on the link at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. Share these codes with your friends, family members, people that you know, people that you appreciate, people that you want to help save cash. Buy a hosting account for a friend, family member, son, daughter. Pick them up today. Use my promo codes. At geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. I'm going to leave the sponsor banner up a little bit this evening. As a reminder for those of you that are watching, and for those of you that are listening, all you got to do is come over to geeknewscentral.com and click on the GoDaddy button on the right-hand column of the website. You'll see it there. It says podcast sponsor offers. But I do want to talk about something new. And this is a little bit of an experiment. There's a new page on Geek News Central, and it's filled, and let me actually bring it up so those of you that are watching can see it. This is a page that's going to have offers, and the offers are going to be changing from week to week. So right now, on the offers page, our offers from Audible, from LifeLock. I use LifeLock. I'm a LifeLock member. I pay a paid retail. There's eFile.com is a sponsor up there right now. There's some workout sites. And then there's even some cash off on some OptiFree stuff for, I believe, for your glasses. But anyway, these offers, again, are going to change and be updated on a weekly basis. I'm not in charge of what's on this page. I'm working with a new team to see if this is going to be a viable way to put together stuff on the website that you may or may not want to take advantage of. It's not something I'm going to be promoting specifically on the show about talking about the product or service. I don't think that would probably do much good. But and this is kind of a different way to show maybe per se a banner ad. And the team that's behind this, I've asked them to try and put offers up there that they feel this audience would be good for. I think, you know, just looking at it on the surface between all of us, I think the LifeLock offer and the eFile and the Audible offer all look pretty good. There's also a finallyfastpc.com. I don't know anything about that product. And then a couple, again, some offers. Beach Body Spring Savings Event. I don't know if that's some sort of a workout product or whatever. But there'll be a few tech things in here that may get your interest. So definitely check it out. GeekNewsCentral.com/offers. And what I want you to do, if you utilize any of these, I want you to come back and tell me what you thought. Good, bad, in between, yucky. I want your feedback. I really do. Again, this is definitely a test with a team that they say that they're having great success with this type of a page layout. So again, just kind of like the geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy page. This is on geeknewscentral.com/offers with an S, OFFERS. Link is in the section of the website where it says import links. You'll find it. Also on that page, you'll find links to our long-term tech magazine offers, and then, of course, link back to our GoDaddy page. But definitely check these out, and that's as deep as I'm going to go into it. I'll be reminding you that page is there, but it won't be a full-run ad in the show like our typical sponsor spot is. But just trying something a little new here. We'll see if it works out. How'd you guys like show 1100? Did you have a good time? I know I had fun doing it, and glad to see it in the rearview mirror. And so we march forward. But I'll tell you a little bit about what I've been doing. I've really been working very hard on getting the new rules for the new podcast awards update that I have due on April 1st. I've just about got that ready to turn over to some podcasters to look at and to critique. Lots of new ideas there. And we're going to be doing some big changes to the awards, keeping with the tradition it being the people's choice, where the people will nominate and vote. We're going to add some additional review pieces in where we actually have some non-partial podcasters will help us review, along with listeners, and some new rules on how many times you can win, and some cool stuff. I think we're going to do okay in getting the podcast awards revamped. I may come to the audience here. I may need to dip from you guys one more time to ask for some volunteers late in April to help. But this will probably be the last year we'll have to do that, although we got a big goal. I need to raise from podcasters and from listeners on the podcast awards site. There's going to be a new GoFundMe page. It'll probably launch here very, very soon. But the goal is to raise $25,000. And it should not be hard if we get every listener that came and voted would just give a buck, we would do very well very quickly. And we basically, the goal is to raise money to completely rebuild the website at podcastwords.com and to really take us into the next 10 years so that we can survive and have a great platform to run on. We're going to run the awards on the old system this year. And then hopefully if enough money is raised, we'll retire it. So a lot of folks are going to be complaining, I'm sure, because it's going to look like we're got our hand out a lot. But for the next few months, while we're trying to, raise the money necessary to rebuild the site, and I won't be bugging you guys, but the podcasting community is definitely going to be getting hit up. Got a lot to do, and if they want it to survive and want to move forward, we'll see if we raise the cash. And if we do, we do. And if we don't, we'll use what we have raised and do the best job we can. But that's kind of what's going on. Hey, as a reminder, we have one more show here in Honolulu on Thursday. And then follow-on shows starting next week will be two shows in Albuquerque next week. I'll be back in Hawaii after that. But rapid fire here. Lots of stuff happening very, very quickly. So I'll be home about 10 days or so before I leave for L.A. on April 6th. But that's what's going on here. Two shows this week, this show and Thursday show, and then two shows next week in Albuquerque. That whole week. So I'm looking forward to a Frontier Burrito with green chili sauce on it there, Sam. So coming your way. and have a pretty full schedule, too. So I know there's a few fans in Albuquerque. If I can do lunch, I can. If I can't, I'll let you know. But keep you advised. Also, starting now, really kind of to prep for NAB. Hard to believe that is just like, you know, less than a month away. Matter of fact, it's just about a month away. And trying to get ready for that and starting to set appointments and stuff already. So, from one thing to the other. At the same time, if there's anyone listening to this show that has a web developer in their family, someone that's, you know, hardcore coder, I'm going to need to hire a serious dev. And if we raise the type of money we're planning to raise for this Podcast Awards update, I'm going to have a great job for someone. I don't want anyone that's going to rip me off, but someone's going to give me a fair product. So if you know of a web dev that could use some work in the next couple of months, I'm hoping we'll have a big job for someone to do. And I'm already starting to lay out the specs. I know what the new site's going to need to be, you know, how it's going to need to be laid out and what it needs to do. So a pretty significant job. But anyway, that is that. And let's go ahead and move into the regular tech stuff that I have on tap for tonight. Okay, I want to start out kind of following on the email I got from a couple of listeners talking about hijacking Alexa. You know, and there's some articles being talked about it being eavesdropping, you know, the device is always listening. And I'm not the only one causing the device to do things. They've had radio shows that were playing on it that reset some thermostats, specifically the Hager thermostat. Was reset to 70 degrees and or Fahrenheit, I guess, rather than Celsius. It was basically some stuff that was on the radio that triggered it. You know, so these gadgets are starting to listen to us, and we have to really be considerate. Will someone unlock our house if these devices do, without being able to recognize us directly, as they become more connected, will someone be able to stand out of our outside of our house and yell at our device and get the device to unlock the doors or turn up the heat or turn off the heat or all the other things that these devices are starting to be, you know, turn the lights on, turn the lights off, all these commands. And it's something that we have to start thinking about, because at some point, they're going to have to put some controls on these devices to keep them from going rogue, because the Echo and other devices have become very, very popular. You know, today I actually ordered another drop cam camera. We're going to put it in another location in the house. I got a blind spot on security cameras and basically, so we're going to use one more drop cam to kind of make sure that area is covered. And it, you know, and actually it became evident about a week ago when we had something happen here and I was reviewing the security cam recordings, and then I went back and said, well, I couldn't see what happened in this specific spot. In Hawaii, if you have your gate shut and it's latched, solicitors are not allowed to cross and come to your door. They have to stand at the gate, and they have to lean their head over and holler, and you have to either let them in or you know, it's, you keep them at arm's length, right? But if your gate is unlatched and it's open, they can actually walk through the gate, open the gate up. If it's not latched, they can come, and then they can come straight to your door and knock. So I had two instances where we had someone come to the door. We said the gate was latched. Why'd they come through? They claimed it wasn't. So essentially, I couldn't see if the gate was latched. So we're trying. We've got a lot of solicitation going on. And while it's not necessarily criminal activity, I've got the evidence that I'll be able to take and go back to a division here in Hawaii that handles these types of complaints and say, hey, these folks are busting the gates when the gates are latched. You know, let's take care of that and keep people out of, you know, keep them out of our front doors. So anyway, so new drop cam's on its way, and it'll cover that little area, plus give me some other idea what's going on with some teenagers here. So that's another piece to it. But there's switching gears here. There's a article over on makeuseof.com talking about how to avoid the Trojan horse update to Internet Explorer 11. You know, Internet Explorer 11 is Microsoft's latest vehicle to promote Windows 10. This time, the Trojan horse is a critical security update for IE 11, which comes bundled with a non-security related update that adds a Windows 10 banner ad to the browser in Windows 7 and Windows 8.1. Very, very irritating. So, as Windows 10 is replacing Windows 7 and Windows 8, Microsoft is decommissioning Internet Explorer to make space for the new browser, Microsoft Edge. So, they're targeting IE users to try to get them to upgrade to Microsoft's new flagship browser. Well, I've got two laptops specifically that will not upgrade to Windows 10. They just refused. Went on the laptop developer's website website, could not get new drivers. It's a video issue. So I'm leaving on Windows 7. They work fine, but I don't use IE. So I'm not going to be bugged by this specific action of Microsoft as they're putting these critical security patches in. So just be aware that Microsoft is being more aggressive in trying to get people to move to Windows 10. Should not be as a surprise there, okay? So just keep an eye out if you got machines that are a little bit older. And are you guys getting tired of being bugged to upgrade to Windows 10? Doesn't it get annoying, that little pop-up in the right-hand bottom of the computer screen? Drives me crazy. You know, I just want to say no. Never, don't ask me again, and go away. But you just can't make it go away. It's a little bit bizarre. Stephen Hawking, well-known scientist, renowned physicist. I think he's even got a Nobel Peace Prize? He's got a whole bunch of, you know, awards, and he's well known throughout the world. Well, must be the good scientist. Need to earn some money. He appeared in a Jaguar advertisement, television ad, 60-second ad. It's a great ad. It starts off in about the 45 seconds. In comes, you know, this guy walks into this building, and here's Stephen King kind of looking like the evil overlord. And it is kind of a funny commercial. It seems so out of place, and definitely dry British humor being invoked in this in a good way. But anyway, you'll definitely want to check this Jaguar ad out with Stephen Hawking as the one of the centerpieces of the ad, part of the way through. And not, you know, you wouldn't expect to see Stephen Hawking in a car commercial, but he is, and you'll figure it out when you see it. There's a lot of news going on about Silicon Valley, specifically about the a lot of these very overinflated unicorn startups. Right now in Silicon Valley, there's about 150 of these so-called private tech startups that have evaluations exceeding $1 billion that are more commonly, again, referred to as unicorns. But what's starting to happen is that because they're not kicking IPOs as often as I think the investment community would like with some of these startups, some of the big investors out there are starting to downgrade some of the actual investments that they have. And when you have these huge evaluations, there's really nowhere to go but down. So several months ago, Fidelity whittled down the value of its stake in Snapchat by 25%, dropping its shares in the $16 billion messaging platform, basically went from $30.72 to $22.91 by them unloading the stock. And so it's not the only company that has been impacted. They wrote down more than a dozen of its investments. Dropbox, Zenefits, Parker Conrad are among a number of startups that were slashed. And although Fidelity evaluated Zenefits before their CEO's departure, other startups that were marked down by Fidelity include genetic startups 23andMe, Blue Apron, the food kit delivery service. They also basically looked at some of their investments like Uber and said those look pretty steady. But really, it doesn't sound good for anyone that's in these tech startups. So I'm just, you know, this is on, you know, there's a bubble here. So it'd be a good time for each one of you that have mutual funds, that have 401ks. It's good, maybe a good time just to take a look at your spread. If you've got stock in some of these companies that went IPO, like LinkedIn and some of those other folks that are already on the stock market, you know, it's just the rumblings are starting to happen now. And I think what we all should do is, again, go into our investment funds, do a deep dive specifically in the tech stocks that they're invested in, and see where your risk may lay on a percentage of how much they have invested in some of these unicorns. You know, if I was an investor and I had a mutual fund that had a high amount of stock bought in LinkedIn, I might be concerned. Same with Dropbox. I might be concerned. This technology is moving so fast and everything right now. Some of these companies may not be as valuable going forward from a service-related standpoint. You look at Dropbox and what they do, it's well-known. But if you take S3 and what Google and what Amazon and what Google and Microsoft are doing, they're making it pretty easy now to, you know, replace what Dropbox offers. So just, you know, keep keep an eye on your investments, folks. Again, I think the investment community is a little bit shaken right now by some of these markdowns that are happening by some of these big investment firms that, for a better word, are well known to all of us in the space. When you hear, you know, Morgan Stanley and those kinds of company names, you know, it should get your attention, okay? All right, there's a new app. It's called Cloud Status. And it's a companion app for monitoring cloud infrastructure, and you can get alerted to the latest cloud statuses in real time. This thing, I saw this today, and prepping for the show, this is huge. Just makes a lot of sense. If you're running any cloud applications, you know, in my company over at Raw Voice, we run a lot of stuff in the cloud, and we have to keep an eye on it. Oftentimes, we have third-party monitoring services that do that. If something goes down, my phone rings, Angelo's phone rings, every one of our team members' phone rings and let us know that something's up. So it's just nice, too, if you have an app that's monitoring, it's kind of like a double, it's a double follow-up. And you can set feeds up to monitor stuff, and then you basically set your alert levels depending if you want to be informed. If Amazon East goes down, you know, it's one of those things that will ring you at 2 o'clock in the morning no matter what. It doesn't matter if you're in bed or not. Those are the type of, you know, updates or the types of things going on that you want to know about right now. So anyway, we're very, very cool. Again, it's at cloudstatusapp.com for you cloud operators out there. Little news out of Apple. Apple News is announcing that they'll soon get native ads that look like articles. And these type of ads really piss me off, to be honest with you. Native banner format or sponsored ads will display directly in the content feeds in line with the news articles. And they can link to an article in the news app. So the ads will be set in the same font as other article in the news app except for a small sponsored tag. The ads are intended to blend in with their surroundings, the document reads. So if you are using Apple News and you're cruising through and you don't pay attention to what you're doing, you may end up clicking on something that takes you over to an advertisement that kind of looked like an article. This new native ad in within the Apple News is going to have a title. It's going to have an excerpt. And the only thing that's going to be different is a little blue thing on the bottom that says sponsored by so-and-so. But every day, absolutely every day, I get 4 to 5 emails at geeknews@gmail.com from vendors asking me to put articles on Geek News Central that they will pay for. Now, I kept track over a 30-day period and added up everything everyone was offering me. If I had put up the articles that they had asked me to put up and leave on the website for a year, and these would be native ads, they would be written articles with hyperlinks going back to wherever these folks are trying to get exposure to from a sponsor standpoint. In just 1 month, I probably could have earned about $3,000. But what they want you to do, and what it would ultimately destroy my website if I ever agreed to do this, is that I tell folks, you can buy advertising on Geek News Central. You can buy right in the show, just like we do with GoDaddy and other folks. You can have a banner on the website with a no-follow tag. You can have a sponsor link in my podcast show notes with a no-follow tag. Well, the big issue they have, and there goes that light again, is they want that no-follow tag to be removed so that when Google comes through and indexes the website, that it takes them to a page that's going to get indexed. It just drives me crazy of all this trickery that's being done to try to get you to click on stuff and being led into, you know, some spam-infested waters of advertising. You know, I have never, ever, ever said, yes, come on. Go ahead and I'll pay me the $300 for the next year for your article to be on the website. It would ruin. Google would figure it out. I'd be lowered in the page ranks. You guys would be like, what's this crap he's putting on the website? And we would be done. Those of you that are watching, you seeing the lights go up? You seeing the lights go down? We're having a light show here. I know what I'm going to have to do. And I know you guys don't care, but that light's got to go. I have one more LED light that I have in a box, and I think I'm going to have to put it in its place because this thing is acting a fool. Ah, oh, it's too bad, too. I think that light's about $600. But that's, it's driving me nuts. Oh, you guys can see it. You guys can see it flashing on the screen. Crazy. And I don't know why. Don't know why it's doing that. It just all of a sudden starts doing it. All right, Korea is going to be shifting to a cashless society. Cash is giving way to credit cards and what's called fintech payments in Korea. And so what they're doing, according to a central bank survey, Koreans carry on average 1.91 credit cards, 2.03 mobile cards, and 1.26 check or debit cards. 4 out of 10 picked credit cards as a means of payment they most use up from 3 out of 10 the previous year. The ratio of those picking cash continues to fall, as Koreans are carrying less cash, with average staying at 74,000 won last year, down 3,000 won from the previous year. The central bank is also issuing less cash. It released 12.3% fewer 10,000 won banknotes last year from the previous year, while the issuance of 5,000 won notes dipped 5.9%, 1,000 won bills dipped 3.7%. So what they're going to do is they're trying to move to a cashless society by 2020. So if a shopper buys a 9,500 won item and pays with a 10,000 won banknote, for instance, the shopper is going to be credited 500 won to his or her prepaid card instead of giving a 500 won coin in change. Now, Korea is not the only country wanting to become more cashless. Now, I'm going to tell you why countries like to go cashless. And this is something that the U.S. government would love to do. If they could go cashless, then they can track everything. There's really no way then for people to cheat on their income tax. And we know that there's people out there that do that. So you want to go in a cashless society. Every transaction then can be tracked unless someone's done a barter transaction. Because if you get rid of the green stuff and everything is digital, then it's very, very easy to see where the money flows. And ultimately, then they can find the tax evasion, the people that are doing tax evasion. But do we want Uncle Sam to have that much, for a better word, oversight into what we spend our money on? That means you cannot buy something private anymore. And, everything would be tracked. Will we ever get to a completely cashless society? I don't think so, but they sure would like to have it happen. What do you think about that? Geeknews@gmail.com. Drop me a line. Love to hear your thoughts. Adblock Plus is causing YouTube error messages. If Google is blocking ad blockers, this could be bad. And we already know there's a little bit of a war going on with people trying to stop you from going to their websites when you have ad blockers and going on. But it appears that now what's happening, if you have an ad blocker turned on YouTube, some people are seeing basically a gray screen for like the 30 seconds or 60 seconds the ad would have normally run before the video starts. It used to be with Ad Blocker Plus, you would only the video would start immediately and they wouldn't even try to show you the ad. Well, now there appears that they're showing gray screen. They don't know if this is a bug or if this is just YouTube fighting back. So we will see where this leads, but these companies are not happy about these ad blockers because they it's ultimately going to, you know, reduce the revenue that they have. All right, Facebook, Google, WhatsApp have all said they're going to beef up security of user data. This all goes from this battle that Apple's having. We know that Facebook already encrypts the message of its WhatsApp instant messaging service. Now the social network is aiming to apply encryption to the service voice calls and group messages. So they're trying to, you know, really go deeper. And Google is investigating with encryption used for emails as part of its end-to-end project can be applied to other products. Snapchat, the phone and video sharing service, is also at work on a more secure messaging system. So it just goes on and on and on. They're putting the locks on, and the battle will ensue. Apple's newest iPhone is believed to be coming in an event on March 21st, so we're really only 7 days away from that, actually 6 days and counting. But that means the usual flurry of rumors surrounding the updated smartphone is turning into a full-blown blizzard of speculation, hints, and leaks. Well, in a very obvious video from China, it looks like someone's got the shell of one, and you'll be able to see what more than likely the new iPhone is going to look like, although the one that they showed off didn't boot. So it probably was just a mock-up, but it looked pretty doggone real. No one would go to this amount of trouble, but let's just put it this way. You'll be able to at least see what the design is, maybe not what the screen looks like, via this video that's come out of China, which we all know that it looks like it's just the body design and not specifically what's going on with the operating system. There's a cool article over in Computer World, and it's a little bit too in-depth here to go into, but it should make us all think a little bit. And the title of this is Algorithms and Experiments Make Strange Bedfellows at South by Southwest. There was a session, two conference sessions this weekend, that basically talked about some of the stuff that's going on in search results, specifically autocompletion or suggestions that the autocomplete features in search engines are producing. And I will admit, though, for the most part, when I'm searching for stuff in Google, when I get to about to the second word, I usually see what I want to type in the offering, and I'll be able to click on it and go. But sometimes the autocomplete just does crazy things. For one of them, it was kind of funny. It said, how to raise your IQ by eating gifted children. That was basically, you started up how to raise your IQ, and it auto-completed by saying, by eating gifted children. I'm going to put a challenge out there. When you're doing Google searches or any type of other auto-completes, and you see weird stuff like that, when you get an autocomplete that's like, what's going on here? Snap an image of that and send it to me. That kind of stuff is hilarious to share with the audience. So, you know, while they were talking about, in all seriousness, a crisis in confidence of these autocomplete, and to me, it's completely hilarious that sometimes this stuff does what it does. And these panelists were all freaking out about how there needs to be more responsibility. And, you know, I'm like, get over it. You know, come on. So when you see something weird like that in autocomplete, snap it for me and send it over here, geeknews@gmail.com. You're going to love this next one. There's a gentleman by the name of Christian Willoughby, and he had a pretty bad day last week when he was taken to the Grimsby police station in England on an unspecified misdemeanor charge. Now, when they put him in the slammer, his mobile device was still on him. And so he pulled his cell phone out and snapped a selfie. And then he logged on to Yelp and sites like TripAdvisor, and he started making some reviews of the Grimby Police Station jail. He provided them a four-star review. He says, it's the all-day breakfast that lets it down, really. Apart from that, the staff are pleasant enough, he writes. He goes on to note the presence of a butler who comes with tea and newspapers. He said the room was nice. The minimalistic idea was a nice touch. It was secure and safe, quadruple glazing and security door. He opined in a post that quickly went viral, ideal place for winding down after a hard day. I'll definitely come back. Well, the police station wasn't too pleased that he got in his cell with his cell phone. But it's pretty funny here. This guy put he took a picture of the toilet and a few other things and put it in his review of the Grimsby Police Station. I think they probably shook his pockets a little more and got everything out that they needed. The tussle up between IT workers at Disney continues. IT workers are now disputing Disney rehiring claims. Disney's trying to put a happy ending on a grim story. Last year, as we all talked about on the show, Disney laid off about 250 IT workers after bringing an H-1B using contractors. Some of the employees trained their visa holding replacements, and of course, there was congressional hearings on that and so forth. At Thursday's Republican debate, Miami IT outsourcing at Disney was raised in a question. Some of the presidential candidates were critical. In response to the debate, a Disney spokeswoman issued a statement saying, in part, approximately 250 were affected by the reorganization, quote unquote, and we were able to hire back more than 100 of them in other positions. I think they were doing candy cane, handing out Coke machine vendor. Anyway, in addition, since the reorganization, we've hired more than 140 other U.S. IT workers into technical roles within the parks technology team, and we are currently recruiting candidates to fill more than 100 IT positions. The park uses IT team will ultimately be larger than it was prior to the organization. Well, this claim that Disney hired back more than 100 of the laid-off workers is disputed by Sarah Blackwell, a Florida attorney who is representing some of the former IT workers. She says, I am in contact with a multitude of the displaced Disney workers, and none of them were hired back despite their many attempts to be rehired. Leo Pereiro, a former Disney worker who trained as replacement, said Disney's latest claims is one the company has been making up all along. So he said, yeah, maybe some of them are working selling popcorn and balloons on Main Street at Magic Kingdom. Or elsewhere in the world, he says. So, interesting spin by Disneyland. What do you guys think? You guys going to go to Disneyland because of this situation? Are you going to, you're going to vacation somewhere else because of the actions of Disney? Makes you think a little bit, doesn't it? Almost 400,000 drones have been registered with the FAA. So they're very, very helpful. They say this is quite remarkable, and we are very encouraged by these numbers, said FAA Administrator Michael Heredia, speaking at the South by Southwest Conference in Austin on Monday. So, yes, they are very happy that they are now have us under their watchful eye. A former VW employee says he was fired after questioning deletion of documents. I think this made the news already. How come this is dated today? A former Volkswagen Group employee said as sued the automaker, saying he was fired after he told VW's in-house lawyers and its information technology manager that data was being illegally automatically deleted off the company's systems in the aftermath of the notice of violation from the EPA. Donovan said deletion of data did not stop until 3 days after that hold. What hold was that? Plaintiff has been a technical project manager, blah, 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 blah. So in other words, they looks like they were trying to get rid of evidence, and he called them out, and he got fired. All right, this sick individual in Kalamazoo, Michigan, this Uber driver who shot and killed six and wounded two others on February 20th, this disgusting piece of meat. The Detroit Free Press, citing police records obtained, said the 45-year-old suspect, Jason Dalton, told authorities that a symbol resembling the devil's head popped up on the ride-sharing app when he opened it last month on the night of the murders. Dalton described the devil figure as a horned cow head or something like that, and then it would give you an assignment and it would literally take over your whole body, according to police reports released Monday to the Free Press by the Kalamazoo City Attorney's Office. He said he experienced a full body takeover. The man killed 6 people and wounded 2 others. Just simply incredible. So obviously, he is trying to build a defense that he is a cuckoo head. And I don't think Michigan has a death penalty. But, you know, we're going to spend a lot of money keeping this guy locked up, probably medicated, seeing a bunch of shrinks for a long time. Just simply incredible. Really, really is. Hoo-hoo. I really want to say more, but I'll refrain. Exclusive Chinese hackers behind U.S. ransomware attacks. Hackers using tactics and tools previously associated with Chinese government-supported computer network intrusion have joined the booming cybercrime industry of ransomware for security firms that investigate attacks on the U.S. company said. Ransomware, which involves encrypting a target's computer files and demanding payment to unlock them, has generally been considered the domain of run-of-the-mill cyber criminals, but executives of the security firms have seen a level of sophistication at least a half dozen cases over the last 3 months, akin to those used in state-sponsored attacks, including techniques to gain entry and move around networks as well as the software used to manage intrusions. So be aware here, folks. Be very, very careful. As you're going from work to home, depending on how you're connecting your computers, all that stuff. Now, you don't want to be the guy that brings in a virus to your workplace that locks and encrypts all your company's stuff. Google has doubled its bounty for a Chromebook hack to $100,000. This is a top reward for someone who can attack a Chromebook in guest mode. So they're trying to find more security holes, and they're willing to pay for you to find them. So if you're, that's your line of work, go get it. All right, there's a very, very cool matchbook out. You know, matchbooks are, you know, yeah, matches in them, right? Well, not so fast, everyone. There's something new out there. It's a matchbook full of disposable flashlights. This is brilliant. So you just get a, it's about $28. And you can carry these around your pocket just like you would a normal matchbook. And when you're stuck in a cave someplace and your lights run out, you can pull this out and you get about 8 hours of, you know, LED light, a mini LED light for, you know, to utilize. These things are perfect for, you know, short-term use. And, as I said, perfect for when you're stuck in a cave and need just a little bit of light to get out. I'm looking at them. They come in a variety of colors, white, blue, red. So I guess you can make them look like a Christmas tree, but again, they'll last about 8 hours. I want all white ones. I don't want any colored ones. But very, very cool. That sounded weird, didn't it? I want all white ones versus red ones. Okay, but $28 for the company's Indiegogo crowdfunding campaign. They're trying to raise $10,000. So it's not a done deal yet, but could be very, very cool. All right, Amazon's new payment system patent is determined to make you look like an idiot. They may make you in the very near future, if you want to buy a product, it may tell you to wink at your device to verify you are actually ordering something. So, you know, the weirdness continues with patents. Have you ever been behind a wall or an appliance and seen, a wall strip and have four or five things plugged into it and you're trying to figure out which plug is which? Well, someone has come up with something really smart, just some stickers to put on those plugs to be able to tell you which one's which when you, you know, really don't have an idea and you got your head stuck being, you know, somewhere in a crack trying to, to turn off a light or unplug a light or a, you know, piece of gear. So pretty, pretty cool. I'll have that link up in the show notes. And smart enough that any of you could just print these stickers yourself. All right. Curiosity's next mission will focus on life on Mars. Of course, the Curiosity rover was sent up to Mars with the important job of hunting for microbes on the Red Planet surface. Now that that job is done, Charis is getting a new mission, and that mission is all about past and future of life on Mars. So they've got a new team, and they got a whole task list of stuff that they're going to be looking for. Link is in the show notes, but Curiosity is on to the next part of its mission. Google wants those of you that are playing Android games on your devices to live stream them. So Google is about to introduce some behind-the-scenes frameworks that should make playing and sharing Android games considerably easier, on top of expanding Android game recording to let developers to add the feature themselves. It's adding a live streaming feature. If you want to share your Altos Adventure exploits on YouTube as they happen, it will be an option. So, definite straight up attack against one of their competitors. How many of you heard about this fan-based Star Trek kind of like series that some people were creating called Axanar, AXANAR? Well, CBS is suing to prevent the crowdfunded fan film Axanar from being completed. The channel is suing the filmmaker even harder because this started, earlier this year. CBS lawyers have submitted 28 pages of documents detailing every possible thing that they claim Axanar infringed on, copyright infringement. Basically, every type of copyright infringement known to man has been included. And looking at some of the examples, oh my goodness, I didn't know they could copyright all this. Did you know Spock's Vulcan ears are copyrighted by Star Trek? You technically can't wear Vulcan ears because CBS says no, no, no. Did you know you cannot film a uniform that the Star Trek series wore? And if it looks anything similar like what they wore, it's a trademark or copyright violation. It just goes on and on and on. I wonder if they trademark space in the way stars look. Hey, we're on MacRumors.com. John Oliver creates an Apple encryption ad in last week's Tonight segment on FBI backdoor request. He does a great job going over both points of view, talking about encryption, and he lays down a case for law enforcement, and basically comes out and ultimately supports Apple. But it's a pretty, this guy puts together some pretty good stuff from time to time. So last week, Tonight, with John Oliver going after the encryption case. There's a great story on Wired and talking about the epic story of Dropbox exodus from the Amazon cloud empire. Talks about how they did it, how they built it. I read this article in its entirety. Those of you that are eggheads out there on the IT side, you're going to love this article. Kind of a weirdo article. How far back could you go in time? Let's say you had a time machine and you could go back to, let's say, 1776. Would you be able to step out of the time machine, considering if you were appropriately dressed, and be able to talk to people without really being looked at too oddly? You might get away with that in 1776. But if you got out of a time machine in 1395 or 1300 or even 1,000 years ago, you more than likely would think people were talking a foreign language when they were actually speaking the old tongue, old English. So while we can go back a couple hundred years, you would probably not do well if you were going back to 1389. And there's a very cool video, 2 minutes and 36 seconds, that kind of emphasizes that. And it's amazing how much English has changed in essentially 700 years or 600 some years. Well, Anonymous, they've got themselves a new enemy. They've declared total war on Donald Trump. So they are going to go after him in a big way, after his sites, after his business, after information, everything you can think of. They are going to go after Trump. So not only does he have protesters going after him, he also has Anonymous going after him. The ExoMars launch was a resounding success. After more than 12 hours of nail-biting anticipation, the European Space Agency ExoMars probe has finally basically took off and did its swings around Earth, building up speed and detached and phoned home and said, hey, I'm alive and well. So this is good news for the European Space Agency, who's got a ride on a Roscosmos, a Russian rocket. YouTube Accelerator lets users stream cached videos, and this is only available in some countries. It appears that YouTube has launched what they're calling an accelerator program in the Philippines, which basically it caches videos for faster viewing locally. So you don't have to wait for the video to load. It's all cached. These cached videos can only be accessed when connected to certain hotspots, which of right now there are 12 located through the Philippines. Also, not every YouTube video will be available. Instead, the accelerator will only host 100,000 of the most viewed YouTube videos in the country. So that's kind of an interesting move here. They're trying, because, you know, a lot of places slow internet. You know, the Philippines went wireless early, and they had such a horrible wired infrastructure that they just, you know, it was easier to go wireless than wired. I invested some money in some Philippine wireless companies and did very well with it over the years. But their wired stuff has just never really kind of caught up, which is too bad. So it's understanding why they're doing this. Hey, AT&T sadly has defeated the class action in unlimited data throttling case. Customers sued AT&T over its practice of throttling unlimited data plans will not be able to pursue a class action lawsuit against the company. AT&T argued that the customers could only have their complaints heard individually in arbitration, and the judge in Northern California has sided with the cell company. The customers' contracts with AT&T required them to arbitrate disputes with AT&T on an individual basis, but customers argued the arbitration clause would violate their First Amendment rights to petition a court for a redress of grievance. While the arbitration clause allowed claims to be brought in small claims court, the plaintiffs argued that such a court would not be an adequate forum. So really what's going on here is, just like many credit card companies have basically, you now go to arbitration on anything. It's a way for them to protect themselves, and that particular arbitration clause is basically, those AT&T customers are screwed. So I don't know if they can appeal this or not, but again, it's about AT&T throttling users that were using too much data. That's a bad sign for all of us. All right, Microsoft wants PlayStation 4 and Xbox One to connect online. Wow, this is big. So Rocket League will be the first game to support Xbox Live's new cross-platform play with PC players. Microsoft extends the invite to all other platforms. So they're trying to accommodate players on Sony PlayStation Network, among others as well. So they're trying to make some interoperability here. That's an interesting move. We'll see how well that develops over time. And that will do us for the end of the show today. That to take me right here to the last article. Now let me go ahead and go back and look if we have, did we have anything come? Oh, wrong button to close. Let's reopen you. And I'll go to email, GNC comments. There we go. What is today's date? Oh yeah, when did that email come in? So that was on Friday. So I got an email from Jeff. He said, hey Todd, here's a link to an article on BGR.com talking about Samsung Galaxy S7 tips and tricks. So if you picked up an S7, there's a nice little short list of of tips and tricks to use on your new phone, okay? I want to thank Jeff for that link. Let's see, what else did we have? Anything else? I think that's it. So Jeff was the only one to send anything in. But you can leave your comments on the show, geeknews@gmail.com. You can follow me on Twitter at geeknews. Of course, definitely, help us out with our sponsor and supporting them at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. Definitely check out that new offers page. And definitely want to hear feedback from you on that as well. But I had a great time doing the show for you today. And 99 to go to 1,200. But anyway, love to hear from you, geeknews@gmail.com. And we'll see you back here on Thursday. Everyone have a great week. The weather's starting to warm up in many places across the country. We don't need any freezes in Michigan, though, because the fruit crop will be hurt. But the rest of you are starting to warm up a little bit. Everyone take care. We'll see you next time. Aloha.